Show, where we learn all about the work of the Barbados Fire Service, focusing towards a safer Barbados.
Good afternoon to you, and welcome to another edition of the 311 Radio Show with the Barbados Fire Service. And you know how we do it every Sunday at 1:30 right here on VOB 92.9 FM. I trust that if you would have missed any of the previous programs, you can always log on to the podcast on VOB929.com and learn more about the Barbados Fire Service and their work. And we say a big thank you to them for continuing with us on the program. I am Krista J. Paul, and in studio with us today, we have Auxiliary Officer for the first time, no, for the second time actually, Auxiliary Officer Andre Wharton. Welcome.
Yes, please. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
All right. And we have a family member, Officer Tramel Perch. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, each and everyone.
And how are you both?
I'm fine.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Good.
You're listening to the 311 Radio Show.
Time now for us to delve into the topic of the weekend discussion. Now, we've been doing this for over a year. The 311 Radio Show, you know, we celebrated the birthday not too long ago. But it's always good to go back to basics. Sometimes, you know, whatever capacity in life, it's important for us to go back to the fundamentals, to see why it is that we're doing what we're doing, what is it that we're doing. And so that's what today's show is all about, Officer Perch.
Yes, that is correct. Sometimes we get delve into looking at the extensive side of things. Sometimes people like to see just how simple things do work and how simply, in this case, fires can occur. So today we're going to just touch on the fire triangle, and we're going to look at some hazards in terms of fire, and we're going to look at evacuation processes. So we just thought today to, for those persons who didn't hear the program from before, and they wanted a nice new set of information based on what some of the things that were covered in the beginning, we just look at those areas for you.
All right. But you mentioned something I've never heard before. That's a fire triangle.
Yes, the fire triangle.
Could you explain what that is?
And basically, that is the three components that are necessary for any fire to occur. And those sides are a heat side, an oxygen side, and a fuel side. Now, fuel could be anything that can be burned under the sun, and basically that can be paper, wood, grass, anything, your clothes, anything like that. Then you also can look at the oxygen side, which is oxygen from various sources. You have oxygen in the atmosphere, you have oxygen in the cylinders at the hospital, you have oxygen and air found in scuba gear, like underwater diving gear. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things, that's where the oxygen source would be. And then you look at the heat side, and there are various sources of heat. You have the sun, you have electrical sources, lighters, those kind of things will give the heat source. So once they're put together, we look at it in terms of those three components coming together. And once they come together in the correct proportions, then you can have that fire.
Okay, so if you have just one or two, no fire.
Right, and that's the basis of firefighting in whole place. A triangle is only a triangle because it has three sides, or in the basis of the name triangle, meaning three angles. Mm-hmm. But we look at the sides of the triangle. So once you remove any of those sides, it's no longer a triangle. Mm-hmm. So the same thing with fires. Once you remove one of the components of a fire, there is no longer a fire.
Mm. All right. Fire triangle, that's basic chemistry as well.
Yes, actually fire is chemistry. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's interesting. So there's a fire triangle, and that is, well, the fire 101, yeah, basically.
Yes. Yes.
Basically. So those are the three components. One more time.
Right. You have a heat source.
Heat source.
You need an oxygen source. Mm-hmm. And you need something to burn. It should be the fuel source.
Okay.
So only when they come together in the correct proportions do you have a fire. But firefighters are in the business of putting out fires, mm-hmm. not starting them unless it's for a good purpose.
Right.
And we have good purposes of fire, which would be cooking, heat, light, and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, fires do happen that we don't want to happen. And there are actually three basic ways that fires do occur. And those are naturally, that would be like from lightning strikes, accidentally, and leaving an iron plugged in, and then deliberately when someone intentionally sets a fire. So firefighters are in the business of taking care of those three aspects, but the one that we can really do something about, only do something about, is the accidental nature of a fire. Things that we didn't intend for to happen.
Wow. Okay. So that's pretty interesting. So you have the fire triangle, and then you have the ways in which the triangle would formulate.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Nicely okay.
Put.
Sorry?
Nicely put.
All right. There you go. So it's interesting to learn these basic details. You know, we might see something and take it for granted, but then not realize that there's a science behind it.
Yes. As I said, fire is actually chemistry, and the burning happens because of decomposition of the material. So it's actually a chemical process going on to have burning in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we look at. And now we've mentioned the triangle. There's actually an opposite side to the triangle we call the triangle of extinguishment, which I highlighted just now. When we try to remove one of the components that you spoke of, then we call that the triangle of extinguishment.
Mm.
So once we remove the fuel side,
mm-hmm.
that will be a process of starvation. Once we remove the oxygen side,
mm-hmm.
that process will be smothering. And once we remove the heat side, that process will be cooling. And therefore, that would be called the triangle of extinguishment.
Wow. Okay. We're learning something today. All right. So it's the process of the triangle of extinguishment. So you have the fire triangle and the ways in which a fire is started. And you have the triangle of extinguishment. That is quite interesting. So these are some of the things that once you enter the Barbados Fire Service, you will learn.
Yes, that is more or less, you could say, basic teaching. All
mm-hmm.
the officers who come in. And the thing is, for persons at home, is that we want you to know this as well. Because mm-hmm. as we have been talking about fire prevention all those weeks, these things can cause hazards in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And with the hazards in the home, you want to stop things from burning. So if you know the three things that can make a fire, you know how to break that fire.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you are pressing, you don't want to leave the iron face down on the cloth on the ironing board, because you have a heat source there, then you have the cloth there that can burn, and we don't have to go anywhere for the oxygen at all.
So the cloth is just a fuel.
This is the fuel.
See, I'm
yes.
learning.
Okay, great. Right? Mm-hmm. So those simple little things, you know, sometimes the phone may ring and you may go to answer it and leave mm-hmm. it face down where it's supposed to be. You know, it's just simple like that, the fire can occur.
Okay. It's good to know basic information like this so that persons can know how to handle situations. You know, it's like math. You know, 1 and 1 is 2, yes. But why is 1 and 1 2? So if you learn the why, then you can do the how.
Precisely.
You know?
And we always advocate that firefighting is a thinking business because situations do change. And once situations do change, you have to change with it in order to get over that situation or to get through it. So to continue with what I'm saying, there are different classes of fires, mm-hmm. which I'm going to let Officer Wharton just deal with briefly.
Okay.
Yes, basically there's just like five classes of fire, as in these are the categories that things that can burn will fall into, basically fuels and stuff. So basically there's a class A, there's a class B, a class C, class D, and a class K.
Okay, well, I would think it's class E, but class K, okay, go
class
ahead.
Class A is basically combustibles such as wood, paper, cardboard, anything like that, and that can be easily extinguished with basically water. And class B is flammable liquids like paints, grease, thinners, gasoline, stuff like that, that can be extinguished by using foam, which basically just smothers it. So from there it will...
Part of the triangle of extinguishment.
Correct. Okay. Basically just chop off one end and it's out. And then there's class C, which is electrical. This is like the TVs, computer screens, laptops, tablets, stuff like that. That can be extinguished by carbon dioxide. And there's class D, which is combustible metals, such as like titanium. Those, all, let's call them all the ums. all that side to the metals.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be easily extinguished by dry chemical or dry powder. And there's class K, which is a commercial kitchen fire.
Mm-hmm.
How I remember it, K...
Kitchen, right.
So from there, that's like basically like the deep fryers and stuff like would be in like KFC restaurants and stuff like that. And that could be extinguished with dry chemical or dry powder.
I think I'm going to ask you to repeat what you just said, because I think it's very important information. We have been giving information for over a year, as I mentioned, in the 311 radio show, but there are certain basic things that I think people should really learn. So if you could just wrap up one more time. So class A.
Class B. There's a class A, which is the combustibles, such as wood, paper, cardboard.
And you use what to?
And you can use water.
Okay.
To extinguish it. And there's class B, which are the flammable liquids, such as like thinners, paints, gas, as in gasoline,
right,
stuff like that. And you can use like foam to smother it.
Mm-hmm. Not sand, as some people think.
Well, that always bothers me when I see sand at the gas station. You know?
We've learned on the 311 radio show that the sand is not to out the fire, but the sand is for any grease on
like
the
oil
floor
and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, correct.
And then there's a class C fire, which is electrical, as you said before, which is like the TVs, the flat screen TVs that everyone has now, the tablets, stuff like that. And that could be extinguished by carbon dioxide, basically.
Which you would need a fire extinguisher for.
Yes, please.
Yes, right.
And then there's the class D, which is the combustible metals, which is the titanium, magnesium, stuff like that. That could be that could be basically extinguished by dry chemical and dry powder. And then there's class K, and as I said before, K for kitchen. So you can easily remember that part.
Right.
Which would be like in the restaurants with the big deep fryers and stuff like that. And that could be easily extinguished by dry chemical or dry powder.
Dry chemical or dry powder, which again is a fire extinguisher.
Correct.
So we've warned people over and over not to use water to try to out a kitchen fire.
Yes.
Yes.
Because water actually would, first of all, spread the fire from one location to the other. And it can also be a burn issue as well.
Right.
It can splash and burn you.
Well, how I remember it is how Natasha said, just as if you have a hot pan with oil and you put water in it, it just,
correct,
you know, it just
starts to freeze, right?
So, yeah, you know, that's definitely what you do not want happening in the kitchen.
Yes.
All right, so that's great.
And keep in mind that you've been mentioning extinguishers, but all of the agents that Mr. Warden was just mentioned all can be in an extinguisher. So everyone can't afford a fire truck. If you can, that's great. But these devices are used to help persons at home so that they can actually help themselves before the fire service arrives.
Including the foam, so it's good to
all
if you have a business that electronic business that uses foam.
The one that with the foam that can use the foam to extinguish, that would be the flammable liquids.
Right.
It should be like gasoline and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like for all the people with mechanic workshops, body workshop and stuff that can invest in one of those particular extinguishers for their workspace.
Well, it would be wise. And I'm as you're talking, I'm wondering actually how many mechanics in the island actually have a foam fire extinguisher. That's something that would be an interesting survey to conduct. So if you're a mechanic, please invest in a fire extinguisher and in the right fire extinguisher, which would be the one with the foam. Right.
But it all depends on the risk that, maybe I'll talk about the extinguishers. It all depends on the risk that you're trying to protect, though. Mm-hmm. Because you may have an electrical system within the garage or the mechanic
shop.
So it's
another extinguisher.
So then you use a carbon dioxide extinguisher for that one, because you don't want to put foam on electrical system because it's water-based as well. So there's a lot, when the fire officers come to your location and do an inspection, especially the business houses and those kind of things, there's some thinking into the process of what is prescribed for your particular risk that you have.
Wow, this is very interesting information. I don't think we've actually gone through the fire extinguishing 101.
Right.
So, well, not like this anyway. And I'm sure this is what you would actually teach prospective fire officers, recruits.
Yes. Especially because they have to know what class of fire, what type of extinguisher you need to put on the correct class of fire, unless you want to make the situation worse.
Correct.
So that is actually taught there, which is the best and appropriate media for each fire.
So as an aside, not going out on a tangent,
right,
but suppose there's someone listening who's interested in joining the Barbados Fire Service, what would they need in order to recruit?
Well, basically, is the same entry level for the government service, mm-hmm. Which is 3 CXCs, but we encourage people to come as outfitted with the academics as possible, because people are becoming more endearing in the attributes and the academic qualifications they have, mm-hmm. So you need to make yourself as marketable as possible, so you want to come into the best qualifications as possible. You can fill out a normal government service form for the government service, or you can just write a letter to the chief fire officer and indicate your interest in joining the fire service. And once you have the requisite qualifications, then you will start to send in a letter and you start the process from there.
So even though we mentioned that this is chemistry, you don't have to actually have chemistry.
Well, it'd be good to have chemistry because it gives you good background information. Example, the decomposition of wood, it would be good to know that, and that is actually chemistry. Okay. But you don't have to have the actual certificate, but right. It'd be just like, I don't want to say asset, but it'd be good to know.
Okay. All right.
You're listening to the 311 Radio Show.
On now to fire service news. And earlier this year, we would have been talking about the camp.
Fire Cadet Camp.
So it's still on?
Well, it has just been completed. Mm-hmm. The pass-out parade was just Friday. And I'm certain that the youngsters who've been there had one great time. Mm-hmm. And they have learned many things over the past few weeks. For example, they were doing things like water safety, learning to roll out hoses and becoming firefighters, not only for a day, but for approximately 5 weeks. And they were taught how to do ropes and knots and those kind of things that firefighters actually do. Mm-hmm. They actually got the opportunity to climb ladders and do like stretchers and splinting and those kind of things. That was...
Can you elaborate on that? Stretchers and splinting?
Well, basically they were taught how to lift people. Using stretchers, and then also splinting when you actually have like a broken limb, mm-hmm. and you actually try to dress it in such a way that it becomes immobile, but yet you can transport the person on those stretchers.
All right. About how many children would you have had?
Approximately 30 at this time. And this is something that we do every year, right. for the public of Barbados, and it helps us in two ways. One, it helps to gather the children's minds and thoughts into more or less a disciplined organization, and secondly, they have fun and they learn new skills.
Wow, that's good. So next year again?
Yes, next year again. This year,
and I understand that the spaces are filled quite quickly. So
yes,
you need to
because we've for years we've tried our best to help the youth of Barbados, mm-hmm. and parents and people do talk, and when we are doing good things, you know, people talk about good things as well, all right? So we're doing some good things, and the young persons are involved, and the parents will talk to other parents and say, I need to get my child there. Sometimes when we go to do other things like the fire service, have like career showcases and health fairs, we get inquiries about the Junior Fire Cadet program. So we tell persons that once your child is interested, once May, June comes around, mm-hmm. you download a form from the website, and then you send in the application. And hopefully, everything goes well and your child will be selected.
And because, what's the age? Sorry, go ahead.
Right, because the spaces are, you know, 30 children, and sometimes you have 300 applications.
Wow.
Right, so, you know, fortunately. And the ages are from age 13 to 15. And that way we're trying to harness the young children's minds into doing something nice and positive for that vacation period that they can carry out throughout life.
Would you have worked with them, Officer Wharton, or gone through it yourself at a younger age?
Well, I myself didn't do the fire cadet program per se, but when I first joined Scouts, we had like a camp basically at the Bridgetown Fire Station for like three, four weeks. So you would leave the evening and come back in the morning.
Right.
So it wasn't actually a fire cadet camp, but it was just to help with one of my badges and some of the awards that I was doing at the point in time.
And what was your experience like at that time?
For me, it was at a younger age, so honestly, it ain't really looking at the aspect of like to go ahead and be an actual fire officer.
Okay.
I did it because
I was going to ask if it influenced your decision. No.
Well, what really influenced my decision on being a fire officer is that I love to help people, mm-hmm. and that is me, 100%. I love to help people. I love to see see like little children like saying, well, oh, there's a fire trap, there's a fire officer. And you know what I mean, saying that they are happy, they like to see the lights and stuff on the fire trap. So that's why it's a good career to get into. So put my best foot forward and give 150%.
And you've been with this service how long?
Well, today is my, I would say my fourth day at work, basically. Because finished recruiting. I was given the pleasure to come today to come and
assist. And be on the 3-1 radio show.
Correct.
All right, fantastic. So I wish you all the best. And hopefully you'll get to where Officer Perch is at how many years? 22 years. There you go. Yes. Well, that is one good thing that can be said about the Barbados Fire Service. You do have some long service employees.
Yes. So what happens is that people need fire service. I always say that it takes a special person to be a fire officer. I think it's the best job in the world. And everybody, you know, will have their opinion. Mm-hmm. So that's quite fine. But for me, this is the best job in the world. And it is a very selfless job. And you put your heart in it. Mm-hmm. So once you put your heart in something, you do it as passionately and effectively as you can. So that is the longevity for me.
Right. Well, we've had retirees on the show say that it is a calling. That is not just a job, but it's a calling. You have to have just all that you're just saying there. That's, you know, that's how they describe it as well.
Yes.
So you have to be called to be a fire service. You know, it is a life of sacrifice. And we, you know, we thank you for your selflessness as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the 311 Radio Show.
So we have, you have some tips for us, some do's and don'ts of fire safety.
Yes. For these do's and don'ts, though, you just have to listen a little carefully, because I'm going to mention them in a way that it gives a little title first, mm-hmm. and then I'll just explain. We were talking about causes of fires, and they happen because of accidents, as I mentioned before, and carelessness. And this is actually just putting things in the wrong place. So we don't want to put things in the wrong place. For example, with the fire triangle, you don't want to put that heated iron, as I mentioned before, face down on the cloth that is burning. We want you to also check your electrical wiring, because there's a lot of electrical fires that we actually encounter. So you want to get your electrician to look at your wiring as quickly and as often as possible and allowed.
May I just ask a question on that?
Go ahead.
How often should you get that done?
Well, I think around every 10 years or so, or if you've had a problem. You don't always have to wait until 10 years or so. If you had a problem, just call an electrician to get some assistance.
Okay.
It is always, as they said, the older person say, is better safe than sorry.
True. So no duct tape.
Yes. And then you notice the appliances, or like the microwaves and heaters and those things that you have them checked and unplug them. Always unplug them, because electricity is always up to the switch of these devices and not just up to the plug. So unplug them so that it doesn't go into the appliances at all. You want to be careful of any heating sources, such as the lighters and the stoves and those kind of things. Have your stoves checked, especially if things like gas is leaking. You know, you want to have them well-maintained. Mm-hmm. You don't want to leave those said stoves unattended as well, because then that means no one is looking at them, and then that fire can occur, and all fires start small, but then it can be very devastating.
Yeah, well, we've said on the show a number of times as well, if you're cooking and you want to sleep,
yes,
turn off the stove and get back to cooking afterwards.
Or you can pick up something on the way home to eat.
Well, that too.
You don't have to deal with that at all. Right. And this, you want to be mindful of where you're storing your flammable goods, such as gasoline and kerosene in the homes. And you don't want to say, come home and put the gasoline can in the kitchen. That would not be a good thing, because of the flammable nature of gasoline.
How would you advise storage for that?
Well, you can put them in a garage out back, but just make sure that it's ventilated, so that all the vapors that can escape would also just dissipate into the atmosphere.
Okay.
Okay. And just finally, you can look at the gas leaks, and that is one that is of special concern. The way you can smell gas is because the scientists would have added a stencher, which enables us to smell the gas that we have for butane and propane, which is on our homes, or the gasoline that people would call gas in the gas stations, because naturally these things are odorless and colorless. But
okay. The
scientists sort of added stenchers to them so that we can know that they are around.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay, so that's quite interesting. So we must make sure that we have them stored in a proper place.
Proper place, yes.
Ventilated.
Cool areas.
A cool area, yes. Definitely a cool area.
And then the type of can you store them into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a special can, so they say. But people want to keep them in like pet bottles and stuff like that. That won't be too wise to do.
Okay, why is that?
Because in the event, what's happened to gas expands too.
Mm-hmm.
And some people too, they just cork it all the way down and just leave it. It can actually build up and then it can actually rupture.
In a plastic bottle with,
yeah, with gas.
With no air.
Well, what can I also add to that is that gasoline is a solvent. So it actually will start to disintegrate the material, the plastic material that is the quote-unquote makeshift container. Cause it to become soft, mm-hmm. and then eventually it will leak. So that is why they are approved containers for that.
Wow, fire prevention is a real chemistry for real. All right, well, thank you so much for coming and sharing all these tips with us and for bringing us into the fire service classroom, right? Fire service prevention 101. Now, we do have a fire service trivia question today. And the winner will receive one smoke alarm. And of course, you know, you can get the smoke alarm, and the fire service, Barbados Fire Service, will also be happy to tell you how to properly install this smoke alarm in different areas of your home. Now, we have a question, and I'm going to ask Officer Perch to give the question, and you can call 434-1790. That's 434-1790 in order to answer the question. And once the first person to get it correctly answered will win this smoke alarm. So, here we go.
Yes, the question today is, list or give the three main ways that fires did occur as mentioned in the program. The three main ways that fires do occur in the program, and we would like you to give an example of each type.
Ooh.
Just to make sure that we are thinking.
That's a real thinker right there. All right, so I hope you're listening. So the three main ways that in which fire can occur, an example of each. 434-1790, you call and let us know the answer. Of course, the answer will be taken off air. And the Barbados Fire Service, once you get the answer correct, the Barbados Fire Service will give you a call to let you know when you can pick up your smoke alarm. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for being with us here today. Auxiliary Officer Andre Wharton, thank you for being here.
Yes, please.
And Fire Prevention Officer Tramel Perch, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm Krista J. Paul. And that's it for the 311 Radio Show for today. If you missed any of today's edition, you can always log on to the podcast on VOB929.com. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.
That was the 311 Radio Show, as we heard from the Barbados Fire Service. Join us again next week right here on VOB 92.9 FM at 1:30 p.m. for the next edition of the 311 Radio Show.